Yes, Namibia's number one talk radio station. If you're just joining us, you are tuned into Eagle FM. And welcome. So thanks, David, for your early morning scoop. Our time is about 33 minutes past the hour of 7. It's a Monday morning, the 14th of the 7th month, and the year is 2025. So it's also the day when the little ones, the schools are opened. So hopefully there will be a lot of traffic and a lot of movement this morning and in every around the country. So make sure that you you drive safe. And if you're taking kids to the schools, make sure that you are safe, and obey the traffic rules, because there are so many movement on the road, just to make sure that others and yourself are safe. So good morning and welcome to Unpacking the Day. My name is Mike Oshoveli, and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. So your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economic, and politics. Every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty, and always curious, asking the question that matters and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying, spark meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. This is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So good morning and welcome. So as every Monday from seven, from around quarter to eight, we will actually cross to our colleague in Windhoek and have the F&B Namibia segment, as we usually have. And then around 8 o'clock, we will cross back to Ondangwa Studio to continue as we normally do with the unpacking today. So just around, make sure that you, as the listener, the followers, and I mean the listeners and of F&B Namibia segment, please make sure that you tune in. Stay tuned actually until 7:45, 7:45, when we switch to Windhoek for F&B Namibia segment. So today is the 14th. Is it the 14th? Yes, it is the 14th of July. And let's get into now our segment for On This Day in Africa. What happened on this day in Africa? So on the 14th of July, 1989, Mogadishu erupted in the first major violent backlash against President Siad Barre's regime. What began as a public protest escalated when government forces opened fire, leaving around 400 civilians killed and over 1,000 injured, according to the human rights groups. So the brutal violence that followed included the Jazira Beach massacre the next day, where armed forces executed detainees without trials. So this tragic event is widely considered a key turning point leading to the eventually collapse of Barre's government and the onset of Somalia civil war. So in a groundbreaking moment for women's rights, Rawia Ateya became the first female member of Egyptian National Assembly on the 14th of July 1957, marking the first time a woman had entered parliament in an Arab majority country. So her elections open a new door for Arab women in politics. And in 2013, Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir attended African Union Summit on HIV/AIDS in Nigeria, despite an international criminal court arrest warrant against him, drawing international attention to issues of justice and diplomacy in Africa. So, well, those are the events, historical events, significant historical events that we have on this day in Africa. So, and today is Friday, it's Monday. I nearly said it's Friday. So I have already just moved the week to Friday. So it was a short week. So today is Monday the 14th. Our thought for the day, money cannot talk, yet it can make lies look true. Money cannot talk, yet it can make lies look true. So money has no voice, but its presence can speak volumes. So if someone with resources endorses a dishonest claim, maybe through advertising, lobbying, or influence, it suddenly feels more believable. The Proverbs warns against trusting appearance and financial clout over actual truth. It highlights how power can shape narratives, making lies seem trustworthy simply because they are backed by money and repetitions. So this proverb reminds us to question, is this real or is just loud? So our best defense, critical thinking, examining evidence, checking sources, and looking behind the money. So, money can't talk, yet it can make lies look true. That is our thought for the day. Hopefully, it helps you and guides you to make the right decision throughout your day today. So very good morning to you. If you just joining us, this is Eagle FM, and our time is about 41 minutes past the hour of 7. As I said, by quarter two, we cross to Windhoek, to Windhoek studio to, for the FNB Namibia segment, with my colleague HT from our studio in Windhoek. So, but well, stay connected with Eagle FM anytime, anywhere, where you are, wherever you are, you can listen to Eagle FM. And you can do that by, you know, downloading the Eagle FM mobile app and also listening to Eagle FM through the website. You could be in your office. You can just go to your website and listen, or please download Eagle FM mobile app, and you can listen, you can continue to listen to Eagle FM. So another product that we normally say, and I always said this is a very useful product, especially over the weekend, you know, I find myself using it, is a hymnal book in a pocket, in your pocket. And please download. So that's a Imba. Please do download that hymnal book as well. In your pocket, as we refer to, it has all the songs, it has all the hymnals from different churches. And please, do follow us, do follow Eagle FM, and do follow The Villager on our social medias, on X, on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on Facebook, and on Telegram and WhatsApp channel. Engage with us on those social media platforms and make sure that you leave a comment or a like or that sign love. Communicate with us. Engage us on those. And today is a Monday. And if you're looking for the latest business and economic news, get yourself a free copy of The Villager by simply sending a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081-241-44 and be sure to save the number as a contact. The Villager is published every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. So, and if you wanted to advertise your business or have your event or function or workshop, conference, real-time exposure via live streams or broadcasting, contact our office number at 083-288-400. 083-288-400. So we're going to cross now to Windhoek, and then when we come back, and then come back around 8 o'clock and continue with Unpacking the Day. So stay tuned. FNB Namibia's segment coming up right away.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
You are now tuned in to the F&B segment, proudly brought to you by F&B Namibia.
Welcome to all the Eagle FM listeners to another fantastic edition of the F&B segment, brought to you by none other than F&B Namibia. Today, we are joined by Theo Hidulika, Client Support Specialist at F&B Namibia. Theo, how are you doing this morning?
We're well. How are we?
Doing well. Thank you. Thank you. Let's get right into it. Continue to educate the nation about protecting their bank accounts. And one of the questions that we received from the audience was, what measures do banks have against phishing attacks where SMS and mobile data is manipulated?
All right. To our listeners, thank you once more, Eagle FM. Thank you for the platform. So the bank have multiple layers of protection when it comes to clients' accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the simplest ones I can provide is 2FA authentication. What does it mean?
Mm-hmm.
It means that every time you try to access your account, you'll receive an OTP.
Okay.
This OTP will authenticate that their transactions. We also have real-time monitoring and alerts, meaning that your banking apps will notify you if something is going on your account. Any transactions that you might pick up, it's going to monitor that. So we also have that. And also, our banking app is secured.
Mm-hmm.
So what I mean by that is it's almost impossible to hack into the banking app. It has multiple layers.
Mm-hmm.
As we all know, the cyber guys in the world are busy attacking Africa with web attacks and so forth. So there's a lot of layers put in place.
Mm-hmm.
But also, the best and the easiest one that we have is client education.
Okay.
What does this mean? It means that if we can educate you, if we can upskill you on how to react when this happens to you, it will save you a lot of time and a lot of money. Because remember, the scammers need you to log into your account. I can give an example of myself. I think 3 weeks back, on my Telegram app, I received a message from a number that was imitating to be one of my friends. It's like, no, click on this link. I clicked on it just to test. Within a second, the app was alerting me that remote access provider, somebody's trying to log into your Telegram, and a 2FA pin was sent to my site.
Uh-huh.
Now, that is how they do it.
Uh-huh.
So if it was somebody who's not unaware, they would have just let it,
exactly,
let it be. So there are layers of protection put in place, but the best one and the safest one is always a 2FA authentication. When you log in, you receive the OTP that goes into your number.
Yeah.
And this should go for everything, including your social media, anything that has a password, set up 2FA authentication for extra layers of protection. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Telegram, that one I can also relate to, because a lot of the times it will say like a contact that's in your phone has joined Telegram, and then they send you a link. But then if you look at like the, if you click on the contact, look at the number, it's,
Yes,
obviously America, not that person, and it's like how
Nigeria, yeah,
exactly. Yeah, but it's a contact that's in your phone, so it's very very easy to fall for that one.
That is an account takeover per se. So mm-hmm. those guys took over somebody that's probably in your contacts,
yeah,
and then are pretending to be them to fish information from you. So yes,
exactly. The second question we received is about people have heard on past episodes of the FNB segment that scammers need account holders to give up certain information to access our bank accounts, as you just said. So are there any cases where fraudsters have accessed accounts without help from the account holder? And if yes, how do we protect ourselves against that?
Well, they are very limited ways to access your account.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first one, like I just discussed, is the 2FA authentication.
Mm-hmm.
That you might give unknowingly. Secondly, there is now another one that we are picking up that is now making the trend. We call it AnyDesk. So what this does is you're on Facebook, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now Facebook has those advertisements. You are playing a game. Click on this link. You click on this link. You download the game. Unknowingly, you also downloaded a malware.
Mm-hmm.
What that means is that now AnyDesk is like a mirror to your phone or your
computer. Mm-hmm.
So those guys will be able to see in real time what you are doing. So you might not have given the OTP, the card numbers, but you gave them access to your device that you use to log into your banking or into your email. So they will be able to see how you enter the password and mm-hmm. copy it from there. So that is one of the growing trends that we have picked up. But once again, for fraudsters to go into your account, they need you. That is why they are phishing. This is why they call you, pretending to be either a banking official or somebody from the local. No, we're calling from Ministry of Water for an application. You must pay. So it's impossible to go into your account without you being involved. So do not click on links. Do not download unnecessary apps.
Mm-hmm.
Do not provide any information to anybody calling you, pretending to be an officer, a bank staff member, even you, HD.
Exactly.
Saying, I'm calling from Eagle, you want something here. Yeah. So, yeah.
Exactly. Never give up. Rather be safe than sorry.
Yes.
Even if it's supposedly your one chance to win $1 million.
Yes. So what I can also say is that to protect yourself,
mm-hmm.
easy steps, your passwords, make them very unique. Do not recycle passwords.
Mm-hmm.
Do not have the same password for all your devices. Recycle them on a monthly basis. And also report any suspicious transaction to the bank, even if it's an attempt.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And, one question I just got now when, you're talking about the password, you know, on a lot of devices, they say, save your password.
Yes.
Is that, when it comes to bank accounts specifically, is that a safe thing to do?
No.
No?
Well, the reason why we're saying no, even if it's your own laptop, your own personal device.
Yeah.
You also have people around you. You might have kids at home, mm-hmm. friends. So, once you do that, it means that every time you go to your banking, on our website, for example,
mm-hmm.
on your laptop, the login details are already saved. You just log in. So this person has access to your account.
Mm-hmm.
So never ever never save your login information on any device.
Mm-hmm.
Rather just know it by heart. You enter it every time. It's safer. It's mm-hmm. better.
100%. Now, another, form of fraud per se. Mm-hmm. is the story of investment schemes that we hear about often.
Mm-hmm.
One of the listeners asked, if I'm tricked by an investment scheme, does that count as a fraud attack as well?
Yes, there is definitely a fraud.
Mm-hmm.
You are being tricked by these guys with false promises that there's a big, if you invest this much, you'll get this much. So there is definitely a scam as well. So how do you protect yourself during this? If it is occurring to you or they are attempting to now recruit you, the first thing you need to do is verify the legitimacy of this investment.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that? Bank of Namibia, you can call the bank.
Mm-hmm.
You can even try to find information on the website regarding that company that is contacting you and try to find out. Secondly, remember that if it's too good to be true,
it's
probably not.
Yeah.
So do not fall victim to these investment scams and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
We see that they mostly originate through Facebook, and you should already be very wary because no entity will recruit
Through Facebook.
Through Facebook. That is social media. They will recruit you via their official channels, emails, mm-hmm. phone calls,
mm-hmm.
and explain to you in detail how this is going to happen. And once again, if it's too good to be true, for example, they're asking you for 5,000, the return on investment after 3 months is 50,000.
Yeah.
That is too good to be true.
Exactly.
So yes, be alert.
100%. Stay vigilant.
Yes.
Now, I'm curious about, as you mentioned earlier, there's been a rise in cyber attacks in general. Has that coincided with the rise in cyber attacks when it comes to bank accounts as well?
Yes.
Yes.
When it comes to cyber attacks, they attack every point of entry at any company that has sensitive information.
Mm-hmm.
So the banks are not excluded from it.
Mm-hmm.
I think, was it this year when we saw the report in the newspaper and the news that Telecom was once attacked and a few of our clients or a few of their clients lost information. So cyber attack is not limited to any company. They will attack.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on what type of security layers you have in place will also determine how far they go.
Mm-hmm.
The good thing about FNB is that it's fully protected. There is layers on layers on layers. We call it the onion layer. So mm-hmm. after one layer, there's another layer. So
mm-hmm.
yes. Yeah, so how they recruit, how they use or what they use to attack you.
Yeah.
It's phishing, emails,
mm-hmm.
AI mimicking communications.
Yeah.
And deepfake. What is deepfake? Deepfake is when a video of HD now mm-hmm. circulating on social media
mm-hmm.
looks like him, sounds like him, speaks like him.
Yeah.
If you invest 20,000, now you can get 100,000 in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So just be vigilant because remember once again, for anybody to access your information, just not your banking information, your mm-hmm. emails, your WhatsApp takeover, they need you.
Yes.
So do not click on links. Do not download very suspicious platforms or apps because this could be just a front to access your account.
100%.
Yeah.
Another question we got from one of the listeners. She said, if someone has my ID, my account and my phone number, are they able to access my bank account?
No. So somebody having your ID number,
mm-hmm.
your account number, your cell phone number, your ID number, they'll not be able to access your account.
Okay.
That they need more than that.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be very careful. So what they do is, and we as now, as clients or as people, in our normal life, we have businesses that we are running,
mm-hmm.
looking for accommodation, applying for a credit somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
When you fill in all those information and the scammers, for example, get now hold of your information through whatever domain that they got.
Yeah.
This is why they need to call you first to trick you to give them that one-time OTP, that 2FA.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know that our clients are very worried about, this person called me, they mm-hmm. have my information. I would still guarantee you that even if they have all your information, they will still not be able to log into the account. That is why they need you.
They still need that valuable key from
that
you.
That valuable key. So be very wary.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody calls you and they're already telling you, am I speaking to Mr. H.D. Osiku? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Is this your cell phone number? Yes. Is this your ID? Yes. Do not be afraid.
Okay.
That is how they are testing you.
Yeah.
They'll come up with a story. Then next thing you see, you'll receive an OTP.
Yeah.
And, we are also asking our clients to really pay attention to the OTPs because it will be written. What is it for? It will be saying you're about to link your FNB app to this particular profile.
Yeah.
Here's the OTP. And it says nicely in bold, do not share. So nobody can access your account without your help.
Mm-hmm.
So be vigilant. Do not share anything.
Mm-hmm.
OTPs, card numbers, passwords, pins at all. Doesn't matter how the story is. Rather call the bank. We're here to assist and guide you as well as educate and secure you
mm-hmm.
on our official platform 061-299-2222.
Say that the number one more time.
061-299-2222. We are available 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
We should be able to assist you any time of the day and guide you on what will happen if you did fall victim to a scamming or an attempt.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, colleagues, even if it was an attempt, even if somebody calls you, report the number to us
mm-hmm.
so that we can engage with our stakeholders such as MTC Telecom, the Namibian Police,
mm-hmm.
for these numbers to be traced and blocked because they are terrorizing our nation. So yes, be vigilant.
100%. Is there any last message you'd like to leave with the listeners before we let you go this morning?
Yes. The message that I'm going to leave is the same message that we have been preaching as industrial leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Do not share your information, just not when it comes to banking. This is in your everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
Do not provide information to people that you don't know, calling you, pretending to coming from certain organizations. Protect yourself at all times. Change your pins when it's required.
Mm-hmm.
Do not log on to unknown computers on public Wi-Fi, such as the airports and so forth. So be vigilant. If you're vigilant, nothing will happen. The banking system, the traditional banking system, has not changed over this decade.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, cyber attacks are increasing as access to digitalization is there. But once again, they still need you to go into your account. So be vigilant, stay focused, stay awake, report it as soon as possible.
100%.
Yes.
Now, before we let you go, share the number one last time for the listeners.
061-299-2222.
Thank you very much for your time, Theo. This has been another edition of the F&B segment brought to you by F&B Namibia.
This has been the F&B segment, proudly brought to you by F&B Namibia. Catch the F&B segment every Monday from 7:45.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is...
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%.
Today, Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
All right, welcome back. That was our F&B Namibia segment. Thank you for keeping us raising those awareness and keeping us aware about and give us some tips of how to take care of our accounts and to making sure that we are vigilant. Actually, that's the word. Yeah, so that we are vigilant enough and not falling in the hands of those criminals that are just waiting for, that are just waiting to bounce, you know. All right, thank you. That was our F&B segment, and then welcome back. We're back now in the Ondango studio, and we continue with unpacking the day as usual. So, and if you're just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day. And our time is about 2 minutes, 2 minutes past the hour of 8. And I will be with you. My name is Mike. I will be with you until the hour of 9:30. So, yes. Now, Let's start with this one. So the Namibian Prime Minister, Eliangurale, has announced the end of the 2024-2025 National Drought Relief Program in a parliament. So, and in the light of that, you know, when we're looking at the, you know, and but it will, well, he asked the regional council actually to continue distributing the rest of the food until the 31st of August. Yeah. Last week, I just want to connect that. I'm connecting that to something that I want to talk about. Last week, the MIF released a climate report for Namibia. And that climate report is specifically looking at the part of that it's a comprehensive report about our country's climate challenges and what we need to do about them. So the report is called Navigating Weather Shocks, Challenges and Investing to Strengthen Agriculture Resilience in Namibia. So, and frankly, it is something we all need to hear. I think something that we all need to hear. And that actually put us into perspective in terms of, like now, when it comes to the National Drought Relief Program, would we continue actually doing the same thing? Or are there other ways that we can be able to, you know, be prepared and be resilient in terms of the climate change in Namibia, or climate challenges, especially in Namibia? So let me just give you the context, the background context, so that and also highlight what is actually the report is talking about. And as I said, this is a report. It's called Navigating Weather Shocks, Challenges and Investing to Strengthen Agricultural Resilience in Namibia. So it's a report that everyone, I think, every one of us should read, downloaded it, and then have a time to read it. So this is an official, IMF selected issue papers, completed. It's completed in May 2025 and also just published last week. So it was prepared by a team of five IMF economists who analyzed our country's vulnerabilities. So they analyzed the country's vulnerability to climate change, especially now this was dedicated to Namibia, particularly focusing now on agriculture and water security. So those are very important two aspects, agriculture and water security. And these are the same people now who advises government on economic policy. So when they speak, so we need somehow to pay attention, or we need to listen. Now, so what are the main things that I read through the report? And there are a few things that I just wanted to highlight, which I found it very important, and things that we need to consider that they highlight in the report. First, let's talk about where we stand. The report confirms what many of us already know, but it put hard number on it. Put some number on it. Okay, that's a different. So Namibia is ranked as the 107th most vulnerable country out of 187 nations when it comes now to climate change. So when it comes to water security, we are the 21st most water stressed country globally. So, and as we know, 92% of our land is classified as arid. So that's no news to anyone who has driven through our through our beautiful land, but seeing it in black and white from international bodies or economists, that's make it real. So now, as we know, the 2023-2024 drought that we all have been living through, the MIF call it the worst in 100 years. And the numbers are shocking. So right now, 40% of our population, remember, 40% of our population, that is nearly 1.4 million Namibians, were during that period, you know, from last year, 2024, were facing acute food insecurity. So, and think about that for a moment. Half, 1.4 million Namibians, 1.4 million Namibians were facing acute food insecurity. Now, report is looking at, you know, this is not a kind of, this is not where, this is not safe, if I can put it in a simple way. So, in a country of just about over 3 million people, nearly half are struggling to put food on the table. So now the report reveals that 84% of our food reserve are exhausted. 84% of our food reserves are exhausted. And that's why we go around, you know, around the world asking for aid. So our crop farming output crashed by 31.7% in 2023 and another 6.6% in 2024. And our dam water levels, remember at that time? So they have dropped by 70%. So these statistics represent, and sometimes when you mention all these percentages, these are statistics, but they represent a real hardship for real families, for real people, for real residents in towns. So you remember when it was, when in Windhoek, for example, the water where, you know, you were not told don't use water for gardening, don't use water for car washing, don't, you know. And in some places there were water. The water have been being, water has been being rationed, actually. Yeah. So, well, the government, our government, has been responding. They have allocated 0.9%. So they have allocated about 0.9%. Remember this, 0.9% of our GDP, to the drought relief programs. That's about 3.6 billion for drought relief programs over the past 2 years. So that money, so that's actually money for assistance, food assistance, money for seed, money for livestock support, money also for water access. Okay. So, but here's the critical point that IMF makes. So we are spending all this money on a crisis response instead of prevention. So that means this money is always spent on the crisis, on a crisis response instead of prevention. So that means we're not putting up measures that prevent this situation not to happen again, you know, but we always found ourselves for years, for many years now, we found ourselves in the same situation over and over and over. And this is what the critical point the IMF actually makes. So now here is where it's getting really concerning. So agriculture, we know that agriculture supports 70% of our population, either directly or indirectly. So, but yet our crop yields are pathetically lower compared to the rest of sub-Saharan Africa. So we are producing 649 kilogram per hectare, while the regional average is 1,613 kilograms. So that is less than half the productivity of our neighbors. So, and the worst thing is that we are heavily dependent on food imports. So the report shows that 39% of our agricultural consumption comes from imports. So when regional drought hits our neighbors too, now think about when now they hit our neighbors too, where do we turn? So that's the risk. The cost skyrocket. We have seen that in those seasons, and ordinary Namibian pay the price we pay the price at the supermarket. So the question is, where do we turn when now, let's say for example, South Africa hit by, you know, by the same drought or regional droughts or whatever climate change. So that's a question that, you know, that we need to start thinking. Remember that here it's actually saying the MIF is telling us that we are spending all this money. We have so much money that we spend on crisis response rather than actually prevention. And what does that mean? Prevention. So, now, the other thing is the drought is not just affecting our farms. It's hitting our power supply too. So during the dry seasons, we are importing 67% of our electricity. During those dry seasons, we are importing 67% of our electricity. Our Rakanda hydropower station, which normally provides 79% of our local electricity generation, has been severely impacted by low water levels. So this creates a vicious cycle. Drought reduces hydropower, forcing us to import more expensive electricity, which strains our economy further. Do you see that vicious circle? So no rain reduces the hydropower, so because it needs that, so, and it's forcing us now to import expensive electricity, and then that also strain our economy further. So that's the circle we find ourselves, that's the vicious circles we find ourselves. Now, what does the MIF what is their prescription? You know, so this is now the most important part. So, what is their prescription, if you like, you can call it there. What are they suggesting? So what do they recommend? What are the MIF recommend? So maybe that's the right word. So they are not just pointing out to the problem. They are not just pointing out the problems. They're also offering some solutions. So the report suggests we need to invest 1.5% of our GDP annually in a combination of development and adaptation projects. So remember, for those 2 years, our investment it's about 0.9%. So it's a 0.9, about 3.6 billion. All right. So here the report suggests that we need to invest in 1.5% of our GDP annually in a combination of development and adaptation. That works out to be about 6 billion per year. So now the magic formula they propose is this, is that 0.1% of GDPs on climate adaptations investment. So that's 0.1% of our GDP should go now to climate adaptation investment, and 1.4% on broader agricultural development. So, and this might sound like a lot, but here's the payoff, okay? Now, what I'm saying is this. Without this investment, we could see our agriculture output drop by 7% by 2050. So, because you remember this, the problem that we talked about of the vicious circles. So with the right investment, then we can limit that loss to just 0.5%. So now the climate adaptation investment means things like drought resistant, use maybe crops, better water management systems, early warning systems, and farm insurance schemes. And the development investment means improving overall agricultural productivity through better infrastructure, technology, new modern technology, and training. So now the report is particularly concerned about our subsistence farmers, especially in the northern regions. So these are the farmers, these are the families who grow mahangu, raise cattle, and depend entirely on the rain. So when the rain fails, they have no backup plan. So the IMF is saying we need to give them better tools to survive and thrive. So the critical issue, here's my take on the most critical issue this report raises, okay? One is the first is the food security crisis. So we are importing too much food while our own farmers struggle. So the report shows we could be producing much more locally, but we need investment in water infrastructure. So we need to invest in water infrastructure, drought-resistant crops, and better farming techniques. And secondly, now, the water crisis. So sometimes when we think water, we only think about drinking. So as we have seen, water is about energy, agriculture, industrial development, you know? So the IMF is essentially saying, fix the water problem or watch your economy actually go shrink, you know? So fix the water problem and or watch your economy going down. So in the third climate projections, and the third is actually climate projection. So the temperature, according to the report, the temperature could rise by 2 to 4 degrees Celsius by 2050. So the rainfall could drop by 12%. So we will have 15 to 40 more days per year above 35 degrees Celsius. So this is not a science fiction. So this is the new reality we must prepare for. So we must be able, we must be prepared for that. So otherwise, yeah. So, and the investment challenge now, and here is where we need to be frank with ourselves. All right. So the IMF recommendation sounds good, but where is the money going to come from? So they are talking about 6 billion annually for the next 25 years. That's massive commitment for a country already struggling with physical constraints. So the report acknowledges these challenges and suggests we need to improve our public investment management. So right now, we are not getting the best value of our development spending. So the IMF conducted a public investment management assessment in 2024 and found significant room for improvement. So, but One thing is that this is not just about what also they say, it's not just about government spending. It's not just about government spending. So the report emphasized that private sector's investment will be very, very, very crucial. So we need to create a condition that encourage business investors to put money into climate resilient agriculture and water infrastructure. So the IMF also stresses the importance of regional cooperation because climate change doesn't respect borders. So we need to work with our SADC neighbors to develop, you know, shared solutions. So, ladies and gentlemen, the IMF report is essentially a roadmap of our survival in a changing climate. So it's not predicting gloom or doom or something. It's offering hope, but only if we act on it, if we act now. So the choice is clear. We can continue spending billion on crisis response, or we can invest in preventing the crisis in the first place. So we can accept declining agricultural productivity and increasing food import, or we can build a more resilient food system, as the report suggests. So the IMF economists have done their job. They have diagnosed the problems and prescribed the treatment. Now it's up to us as Namibians to demand that our leaders take actions. So because the alternative, continuing on our current path, it means more drought, more food insecurity, more economic hardship, more our people going hungry. That's what it means. So this report is not just about statistics and economic models. It's about whether whether your children and my grandchildren will have enough food to eat, enough water to drink, and enough opportunity to build a decent life in this beautiful but challenging country we call home. So that is the reality, Namibia. So the IMF has given us the roadmap. Now we need the political will, so the resources and the collective determination to follow it. So because if we don't, the next drought might be the one that break us. So what do you think about the IMF report? So make sure that you read it that for yourself. It's very, very informing. Very informative, very, how it is, practical, if you can put it that way. So, get hold of it and familiarize yourself with it. So, I felt it very important. I felt that it was very important given what the Prime Minister actually, ending the drought relief program of 2024-2025 draft relief program. So then there are things that we need to change, and this report actually just hit on the nail, you know, and the report just hit on the nail. What are the things that we need actually to change to make sure that we prevent this to happen? So, as I said, we can continue spending billion on crisis response. Or we can actually invest in preventing the crisis, in the first place. So, that's the perspective. That's the angle. As that program ended, just to see what are we going to do? What is that we're going to do? after that? Are we going to find ourselves in the same situation next year again, next season again, when there's something else? Right? So that's the perspective we're bringing you this from. So you're most welcome. What do you think about the IMF diagnosis and also prescription, as I call it? And what do you think about ended the draft relief program of 2024-2025 as it was announced by the Prime Minister in the Parliament? So please do come through. Our telephone number is 08333-66091, 08333-66091. So, and have your say and your comment and your take on that one.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take out my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, very good morning to you and welcome back to Unpacking the Day. My name is Mike Osovelli. And our time is about 30 minutes past the hour of 8. And we were just looking at the report, the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, released a comprehensive report about our country's climate challenges and what we need to do about them. So the report is called Navigating Weather Shocks. And navigating weather shocks, challenges, and investing to strengthen agricultural resilience in Namibia. And as I said, it's a very comprehensive, very practical report that's worth reading. And it's an official IMF selected issue paper. It was just published last week, and it was prepared by a team of economists who analyzes our country's vulnerabilities to climate change, and particularly now focusing on agriculture and water security. So what is your take of that? And also, what is your take on, because this is, I bring it in the context of what the Prime Minister, Eliangurale, has last week announced the end of the 2024-2025 National Drought Relief Program in Parliament. So the question is, what then? Okay, so how do we then prepare for the next, drought, if it happens? Are we always found with our pants on our knees? And this MIF climate report, it really give us, you know, some alternative. It give us some, you know, some option, a recommendation of what we can do, especially investing in water security, and especially in infrastructures, because that in itself plays becomes an issue of when we don't have water. It's not just about water. It's not just about drinking, and it also has to do with our energy, security. So, yeah, and we looked at a couple of things, and all right. So, what's your take? What is your comment? What is your opinion? So do come through. Our telephone number is 0833-66091. 0833-66091.
Great news. Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the
eye. Yes, welcome to Unpacking the Day. It's on Eagle FM Live from Ondangwa studio. So there's a recent it's a recent Namibian business column called Fuel In, Fuel Future Out, warned that our country may be heading towards becoming a storage hump for other nations, fuel, all the tanks and pipelines in place, but still waiting for our own oil to arrive. Now, this commentary, published by The Brief, last week, so raises some, the reasons why I'm focusing on it now. I'm talking about it. It's raises some critical questions, which are worth, you know, looking at or considering. So, are we building bigger shelves before stocking our own goods, you know? And what does it mean for economy and sovereignty if Walvis Bay fills with foreign oil, foreign fuel, while our own pumps run dry. Now, maybe you're confused with my questions, but the thing is, Nigeria's Dangote's refinery, one of the African largest, planned to build a huge fuel storage tanks in Wavish Bay. So report confirm they will hold about 1.6 million barrel of petrol and diesels. Now, that's enough to fuel many Southern African cars for a week, you know, at a time. So it's a big deal and a boost for Wavish Bay. So it's a really boost for Wavish Bay. There will be more jobs. There will be more business. There will be, it makes sense logistically. So Namibia's port is deep and underused. So sitting neatly along trade routes, you know, to Botswana, Zambia, Zimbabwe and beyond. So, but here is the issue the commentary is trying to expose. And I want you to think about it. So those tanks will stock foreign fuel, not Namibians' oil. So as one analyst put it, we are the logistic guy in the back room of the regional energy market. You know, so what simply means is that we have ports and pipelines, but we are mostly moving other people's oil. So in a simple term, imagine building a big warehouse in your garage. Let's say, for example, in your garage. So, but only your neighbor's good go in the shelves, not yours. So that is the concern. So that is the concern. So fuel might come into Namibia, and tankers will surely dock, as they use the word. So, but it could be sent right back out to other countries where, whenever the price signals or politics tell it to. Because, in other words, oil and fuel obey market prices and not, it doesn't obey, you know, patriotic flags, you know. It doesn't. It obeys market prices. Yeah. So now the question is also when will our oil start flowing? Namibia has some exciting offshore discoveries, you know, fields named Venus, Graff, Mopane, and more, and so much more. So the government hopes to see first oil by around 2029 and 2030. So we hope to see the first oil by around that time. Now, but also big oil projects take years, as we know, as we heard, take years of technical work and approvals and all so on. So now a recent report says, Total Energies, for example, is starting the Venus discovery right now, with final investment decision, a green light to build, push out to later 2026. So we have another player, BW Energy, is eyeing the Kudu gas field, but also aiming for a decision in later 2026. And you have Shell, well, after drilling offshore and finding oil, quietly declare it finds uncommercial, okay? Uncommercial because of too much associated gas. So in plain language, Shells have written down its Namibian oil finds. So meaning they are not rich enough at current condition to develop. So when you think of that, at best, Namibia's own, our own oil might trickle in by 2029 or later. And even that is not guaranteed. So we are not producing fuel today. So the reality is our offshore. So our offshore future is still offshore. Stuck in the studies and corporate, boardrooms. So now, with the stories, with the column that I'm looking, the reasons why there are key issues and risk that have been highlighted in that column. That's why I feel that it's something that maybe we can look at and something you can, you can think about. So it's about one. It's about the fuel hump, center or versus actually producers' role. That's what the column also, I think, trying to expose that on one hand, the Dangote deal is a win for Walvis Bay as an African fuel hump. It's a win. So more ship, more job, more fees for the port. So according to the commentary, the flip side is worrying. So Namibia is essentially renting a space in its territory for other people's fuel. So if a global market now shift or political change, now that fuel could be diverted elsewhere. That's the concern. In other words, stocking up Walvis Bay, it doesn't give Namibia control of any oil. It just makes us a middleman. So, and think of it like, as I said earlier on, leasing your garage to your neighbor who stores their fridge there, okay? It is their fridge and their food, not yours. So, and that's what this commentary column actually, said. It make us, doesn't give us any control over any oil. If we become that as a fuel center. So we're just becoming actually, it just make us a middleman, a middlewoman also. So the other things is that, the other critical, point they also highlighting, the commentary is also highlighting, is the delayed local productions. That means none of the foreign investment in gas and oil guarantees will profit. So Total Energies and others still debating the costs. So as one energy report, which I actually also discussed here, the Total Energy need to keep costs under about 20 US dollar per barrel for the project to work. And then they want that the government also, somehow have to meet them halfway, have to have some kind of incentive for this to work, for the project to work. So from that report, that's a tough target, If cost stays higher, if incentives are unattractive, the FID, the final investment decision, it keeps slipping. Our own first oil likely won't be simple, immediately outpouring. It is more of a distant promise, which is on the horizon, really. Now, the other crisis or the other problems or the other critical issue is NAMCO crisis confidence. Back on shore now, our state oil company, NAMCO, which was meant now to be the champion of Namibia's energy ambitions and Instead, it has been a scandal. It has been really, really a scandal. Now, over the past years, I mean, we have learned anti-corruption authority discovered that NAMCO executive extended huge fuel credit to private companies, which ran up something like 380 to 560 million in unpaid fuel bills. So, and well, senior managers, including former CEO, you know, supply chief and finance head and many others are now arrested on fraud and racketeering charges. So in practical terms, NAMCO sold, you know, as someone actually said, NAMCO sold fuel on credit like, as someone said, like confetti and lost hundreds of millions. So the same people who should we should be building oil infrastructure may have been cooking the books, you know. So if our oil agency can't keep its own books straight, so how can we trust it to secure the nation's energy? So the mess already raises those red flags about governance and oversight in our oil sectors. So, well, we hope that it's going to be different now that it's under the president's office, and maybe the reasons why we see what is happening is exactly what we need to happen. Yeah, so, well, the other issues that is that highlight is that Namibia historically tries to manage its mineral wealth carefully, but mistakes have happened. So if you look in terms of diamonds and uranium, broad money, but also controversial. Think of the debates we have now over local beneficiations and who truly benefits from these resources. So, and when you think of oil and gas are even bigger money. An expert warned that without strong rules, our new oil finds could be captured by, you know, political connected interests, you know, hiding behind, you know, those companies. And that's definitely quite obvious. So the public really, we need to be involved, all right? So this industry thrives on, as we see, on secrecy and legal maze, not something to, you know, to stumble into naively, yeah? So one have to, you know, why we have to be involved. Yeah, so, well, from what we say, when we look at that, it sounds so gloomy and dark and whatever. No, Namibia has recognized some of these challenges and even passed new policies. They have even passed some new policies. For example, the government approved a national upstream local content policy, which was done late last year, 2024, to make sure future oil projects hire local businesses and workers. So in theory, this means Namibians should get contracts and job instead of foreign specialists on a day one. So that's what it means. It's a big step by the government, turning talk of local content into formal rules. So, but there's always a but here. So like any policy, enforcement is key, you know? So the law will require companies to submit local content plans and report on hiring Namibians. So as citizen, we need to watch this. We need to watch that this, it doesn't just stay on the paper. That this is exactly what is being what is being done. So meanwhile, we should also push for clear, fair contracts. Royalties and profit sharing deals should be transparent and consistent. So ministerial description, you know that of where one day the royalty is 4%, the next is it jumps up. So those are not good. As they said, it's not good for investors and it's also not good for public confidence. So the extractive industry transparency initiative, something I talked about, many countries being part of that initiatives, and Namibia was still considering to be part of that. Well, it's given what happened these days and although the arrest and also the saga that is going on, is something Namibia could now, should now think about, you know, to improve, especially to improve the trust from the public. Other countries use it to publish companies' payment, government receipts, and so on. So that may be something that they need to do now. So, and the other thing, NAMCOL also needs fixing. Public debate is raging either let's do a full forensic audit and overhaul of NAMCOL management, or consider sidelining it from big fuel deals. So those are some of the, you know, debates. So what do you think? So, and you also think, if you think, let's say, for example, where private run, it was a privately run utility. Just think about it. If it was a privately run utility, would it have given out so many freebies that we have seen? You know, would it have given out actually those freebies? Yeah. And if we are seriously want NAMCOL to be our national oil muscles, so it must be clean and professional, I think. And otherwise, maybe private or regional partners should handle some task. You know, so as being suggested here. So some other point from the debate worth noting, Namibia has already been building a fuel infrastructures. A few years ago, we raised our total fuel storage capacity dramatically to about 75 million liters. So we can hold roughly a month worth of fuel. Instead of just a week. So that's actually something good.
Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
I'm all right, mate.
Yeah.
This morning, are you talking about NAMCOL?
Yes, directly, not indirectly, and yeah, but yes.
Because I just tuned in. Last time I left you, we were talking about today, what? The first topic. But anyway, I think I can touch it on NAMCOL because it's already in the news.
Yeah, no, it's already. The funny thing, let me say on that thing, the funny thing, about NAMCOL, I have been asking quite a number of people actually to, you know, you know when you're looking for the expert, you know, to come and talk on the show.
Yeah.
And for some reason, for many people are just distancing themselves. I don't want to really talking about that. Everybody's distancing themselves from that, you know.
From NAMCOL, yeah. it's even deeper than what Peshawar, NAMCOL. Because this has been happening for many years.
Yeah.
And the people have been talking about, I don't know now, maybe there was something holding the what anti-corruption director to act, because this started way back the late president.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you remember the issue of NAMCOL and August 26th.
Yeah.
There are still more to come if you really tackling the corruption.
Mm.
Then August, there must be a lot of people also being arrested. Because if you look at the Nankone, people have been complaining about it. Even when it comes to wildlife resorts, they are also in things involved with Namco. Then I don't know why anti-corruption takes so long. Just imagine a person who's throwing 300 every day, 300,000. Namco is a very small country. Even you say, we know that there are more companies making more money, but 300 is a lot of money. Even the bank, I think, people are supposed to be arrested today or suspended. Yeah, because it's just meeting. You are, even if you are getting your car 50,000, trying to buy your car park or something, they will ask you where did you get the money or where you are taking it. But 300,000 on a personal account every day. Come on. How many is this business worth? What kind of business is it doing? Does he have any furniture in Namibia? Does he have any what? We know there are a lot of millionaires in Namibia, but it's seriously a day.
But you know,
unless you are hiring retailers.
People normally steal with it. You know, when you become, if I come to you, let's say for example, most of this institution, they have personal, not personal, but, you know, bank, you know, you have your, the banker in the bank. You don't just go to anybody.
Yeah.
You know, you become familiar. You know, you become, they know you. So whenever you come, so, no, I need you to do a transaction of this amount of money. So we have something. So you don't question it because it has been years. You understand? You have created that relationship. And that becomes a problem also at one point, as we have seen now. Yeah. So, but you develop that relationship. I have my personal banker that I called to. So, and sometimes he just said, can you please do this or whatever? And they do that because there's been years of relationship.
This transaction is very questionable.
Yeah.
Because remember one thing that I thought maybe, like you are doing that kind of transaction, there must be a CEO involved.
Yeah.
Because you can't tell me that just a ordinary accountant or whatever, just they were standing at those one who the office first, they be able to do that transaction without any higher officer. I think there must be higher officer who is involved, because now you cannot tell me if it's difficult for you to do what, like I'm buying a car, a bike from you, Mike.
Yeah.
This money, I'm telling you, there'll be a lot of paperwork.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah, but seriously, every day, what kind of business are they involving?
Yeah.
Because we know there are a lot of companies having the expenditures every day, accumulating more than that, but seriously. For every day, and this has been going even like for up to 4 months.
Yeah.
No, man. No.
The story that I was looking at, it's actually a column in one of the business publication, and what it raises, the questions maybe where you find me talking about is that, you know, and Dangote was in Namibia, you know?
Yeah.
And somehow he has a refinery, one of the Africa's largest. Now he's actually planning to build a huge fuel storage tank in Wavish Bay. So, and that has been reported, and it will hold about 1.6 million barrel of petrol and diesels. So what now the concerns of some people is that we are becoming a fuel hump, not a producer anymore. We become the fuel hump of someone's oil. You understand?
Exactly, because now remember one thing, if this guy is having a refinery, And remember one thing, that in our coastal area, especially when it comes to our harbor, is even we are, the way we are even located, it's very easy to do business.
Yeah.
And I don't know why we are allowing it, him to come in. Will you? What happened to our storage facility which we have?
Yeah.
Which we built ourselves. Are we trying to sideline that one or how?
Mm.
Because sometimes the thing we, our leaders, they are doing, it's very questionable. You know, when people are, sometimes it's what I'm saying, a lot of people are celebrating about Meme doing this, Meme saying even no return of money, but in actual action,
yeah,
we never saw anything related to, even they are compelling her to Traore.
Mm.
Traore, we can say the result in Burkina Faso. The result is to speak to himself.
Yeah.
But then talking, but things when come to action, we don't see much. Some of us, maybe some, they can see it.
Yeah.
Apart from gentlemen with their, I mean, three ministers, you can see and touch.
Yeah.
Things are changing. But from where, point of view, I don't see much. Because lithium, it was stopped. And now lithium will start going out to our us processing it. And this is what saying, advocating, there's no, the only lithium are going out without then processing.
Mm.
And up to now, when she was campaigning, she said, no, she's going to leave the people who are involved in this. What happened to those?
Yeah.
And now you are here signaling people.
It's only about 100 days, you know. It's only 100 days in the office so far, you know.
100 days, but we, that is enough, because it's enough. We want to see the result.
And sometimes I think she coming in finding us very tired and wanting a difference. So the demand is so much higher compared to others. You know, we could be unfair because
Michael, you know, if you promise something which you cannot, you know yourself you cannot keep it. Sometimes try to work in two or three things.
Yeah.
With you been promising, and then you can see that yes, at least there's a more tangible result which are going according to her promise.
Mm.
But if you are just here and there and there and there without completing any just like the what you talk about our NDP, we are NDP 5, but we never see even the two or three which you complete.
Yeah.
When you talk about it, we are in NDP5. That's the problem I think we have in Namibia, because we are touching here, and the moment we didn't even finish this one, we are touching the other one.
Yeah.
But at least, if there was a tangible result, like now, Dangote, yes, it's a good, but that guy is also a lot of controversy when it comes to his business. But for us, to allow him to set up a harbor there, we know that he's already... When the oil broke and is having a refinery. Now, do you think it's even going to change our place when it comes to oil?
Yeah.
No way. Not at all.
Yeah.
For us,
and we have our own problems already. Imagine of NAMCO, that should be,
It's what I'm saying. You know, you remember the slogan said, we are tired of us to be just given a job. We want also to start controlling ourselves, our resources.
Mm.
Because remember one thing, that we are having a storage day. Waiting for what? After all, I don't know what we are waiting for that storage, which is costing a lot of money.
Yeah.
Mm. And now we are allowing
it has just been
to come and put up another one.
Yeah.
No. I think it's our time also to start really questioning some deal with we are signing up.
Yeah. No, we have to. And the reasons why sometimes we bring up this is to create that critical thinking, and start questioning and start, you know, because sometimes, a person can think in terms of course, there is some benefit for Wavish Bay Port, you know.
Exactly.
Definitely. But in the long run, are you, What are you more?
You are even going to generate any income.
Yeah. So
for development.
Yeah.
Not at all, because this is a Nigerian you are talking about, and now the Nigerian they are able to come up with. And remember one thing, that we are able to even supply the oil, what almost 30 acres. But that oil is not ours.
Exactly, that's the point.
see now. Mm. And we still are going to what to find our oil.
Yeah.
What happened if we find our oil now? And Dangote is having a what storage there?
Exactly.
It's not going to charge us when you are going to deposit in storage. Come on, no. I think it's a hard time also to start thinking out of the box.
Yeah.
And start doing our own thing. It's not supposed to be allowed. Maybe you can come up with a refinery, since that we are struggling also with the refinery, because we find oil.
Until there is a commitment, you know, that's what they call FID, you know, the final, the final whatever investment decisions.
Exactly.
You know, you can put your what is the word? Uningeshike. Something like that. I can't remember now the word. I said we can't already do certain without, unless we have those final investment decisions, you know, commitment of this total energies and other, other companies. So when we know that.
I said that Likon is back again, huh?
Yeah. So
The finding, I'm sure, is there. Yeah. Just sometimes I think it's just a practical way and a game player. It's a game player. You know, sometimes these guys, they are playing with our minds.
Yeah.
Whether we like it or not. Sometimes they want us, they think maybe we can allow the way it is. Because sometimes, you remember, they are competing. And now you have Total Energy, you have the other one, you have
BW Shell. Energy, yeah, and Shell.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah, they are more so. So they are really playing with our main game. But this is what I'm saying. If my brother, we spend 30 billion since independence trying to find our oil, and this guy, they just come recently, without 2 years, they're already finding it. What was aim for us to spend all those money?
Yeah.
And they didn't find anything. No, there's somebody really playing with our mind also in the government, giving these people information.
Yeah.
Where to oil is. Yeah. You cannot just tell us that we spend money for nothing. No way.
But you have to spend money to find the to actually find the oil. So you have to spend the money,
and we found that there is oil in Namibia.
Yeah,
and the these guys they come in.
I think the oil is there. The problem is that the problem is how costly it is to extract it.
To extract it, is that the way?
Would it be, you know, commercially viable? You know, would we spend more in extracting than actually, you know?
Then actually the oil is not have a quality.
Yeah, so those are the issues that they have. I think as what Shell, in a nutshell, that's what Shell is saying.
maybe that is a very important point. But seriously speaking, when it comes to Dakota, I think since we have a Lobito, agreement.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I think that Lobito agreement that we can just, at least Dakota is coming in, then you can have they can do the refinery.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, and then we are able to get out the oil since we lower the lining from to up to Chicago.
Mm.
Maybe we can extend it to that side.
Our own refinery, yeah.
Our own refinery, yeah. Mm. We don't need somebody really to come in every day to rescue us. I know what our business people are doing instead of coming, because I remember also that got so interested in what? In
cement?
In this cement. Well, what is Holongo cement? Because they want to sell it, but I don't know why our business people are not coming in. We have people who are benefit out of GIPS. And they are never there. What are they doing with that money since that they cannot retain that money? What about if they put their money together, then they buy out of Olongo cement? Or they build the refinery?
And later we end up complaining that why everything is with the foreigners. And our own business people are not investing in those, you know.
That is the problem. It's what I'm saying, really. Namibia is hard time also to start investing in the youth.
Yeah.
Let me say a person is finishing school, and we know there are special people who are like sidelined in the economy. Let me take about even the VDC graduate. If you come to Windhoek, my friends, the mechanic are doing what? Their workshop in the what? In the, alongside the street of Windhoek, in the tree. Where if he didn't fix the, maybe he's having even the, he didn't find the part, then the car is having to be towed. Andy is complaining also that, you are making my yard dirty. What about we start investing in the youth? Where we even make lamatics available for them.
Yeah.
So we can have another business people, because now our business people also, they are tired and they are old also. We need new people also in the category group. Since we kill off the SME bank, and we bring back them, the SME bank, to start funding the youth?
All right.
Serious, I'm telling my brother, you can't tell me we have a background of the housing, and now we are letting the cement to go to Dagoti again. And then later on, you see the storage is over Dagoti. What is this? What do you call that now? And what is the, what do you call this competition? What they call this competition? What they are going to do about it?
Yeah. All right. No, man.
All right, let me end up with the,
No, thanks. Thanks for coming through, man.
All right, my brother.
Okay, great.
Well, the plan is that Dangote's plan is to store 1.6 million barrels in Wavish Bay. It's also confirmed by Reuters, and it will help South African fuel supply. So, but remind us that, that oil won't belong to Namibia. So that's the issue. Now, the offshore, wait and see. Our first oil is expected, around 2029, 2030, but the major players are cautious, The Total Energies aim for 2026 decision on its Venice field. Shell has already written off its finds as uneconomic. So the Kudu Gas, project has been in development, if you like, has been in development. This I have heard it for decades and still has no final go ahead. Eh? The Kudu Gas has for decades now has been in development, but up to now there's still no FID. Eh? So these delays means the true fuel future stay offshore for now. stay offshore for now. All right. So then we're talking about also a cleanup that is needed. Namco's scandal of unpaid fuel credit, hundred of million involved shows the need for accountability. If a state oil official can't avoid conflict of interest, so we need watchdog. So we need some watchdog. Let's demand clear audits and zero tolerance when it comes to fraud. So, and that's what the president have to show. Okay. So not just talk, but really, really show, let's bite. We need the ACC to bite, really, not just bark. So, and the whole question of, governance and local benefits. So Namibia has a new local content policy to boost jobs and services for Namibians, which is actually good. Yeah, but we must ensure companies actually follow it. So we make to make sure that it's being followed. Yeah, we also need fair, transparent royalty rules, you know, and the published should ask for published, you know, contracts. We should be able to see that, and revenues, so we know how much we are really getting. So, and so yes, I mean, tankers will dock at Wavish Bay and fill those we need, those new tanks. So there will be ribbon cutting and headlines celebrating our new fuel storage glory, you know. But underneath it all, remember the core questions. So are we handling oil or are we producing oil? So that's the core question. Are we handling oil or are we producing oil? So right now, Namibia is leasing storage, you know, not building production. So as that opt warns, our future energy story won't be written in these Wavish Bay tank farms. So it will be written in offshore and in how we regulate, contract, and manage those resources. And, well, as we are here now, the clock is ticking, and it's really up to us. So for everyday Namibians, the lesson is we have reason to hope, definitely. There is oil out there, but we also have a reason to watch closely. Yeah, don't be dazzled by fuel filling up our ports. Keep asking. Let's keep asking. Where do we start? When do we start filling up at home with Namibian oil? That's the question. When do we start filling up? Filling up at Namibia, filling up in Namibia, you know, with Namibian oil. That's the question. Well, our telephone number, 08333-66091. It's the Ondangwa studio. 08333-66091. So what is your take? What's your comment? What is your opinion? So you're welcome to come through and, well, and share your, how you feel, how you think, and contribute to the topic. 08333-66091.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo chikao shafa sana na na longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moyao ota ingongo tisa mwene anange shifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika seitha nina omayakudo nirandisoma yoe yonge shifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu moambo dengira selma onara heta tuimu datu ndatu heari hamano tano oni aji Eagle FM the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station. The view.
Yes, this is Eagle FM. And you are still on Unpacking the Day. So our time is about 22 minutes past the hour of nine. And, we have about 8 minutes. So please do come through. Don't come when I'm about to knock off, you know. There are those who always, you know, when you are just about to, you know, to, it's when they keep calling. So do come now. Our telephone number is 08333-66091. If you want to contribute on the program, on the stories that we have covered this morning, please do come through on that number, 0833-66091. Yes, yeah. Today is it's Monday, and the villager. It's the today's edition is also out. So the headlines, some of the headlines that you can find in the villages is government wants minimum 10% free carry mining share. It's a story and in today's making the leading story on the front page of today's the villager. Today's edition of the Villager. So, Rastus. And then we also have winding down on drought aids affect over 300,000 Namibian household. That's another story there by Anna Kleta. Let's see who is knocking on my door. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
Fine, thank you.
Yeah, you're a little bit further. I can't hear you properly.
Oh, you cannot hear me properly.
Yeah, now I can hear you better now. Yeah.
Let me increase my volume.
Yeah, that's far better.
Let me increase my volume. So... Now, the issue of tarnishing.
The issue of tarnishing?
Tarnishing the image of the country and the loss of the confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah, because of few individually people who are in getting involved in unethical conduct.
Yeah.
It's a concern.
It's not unethical, it's corruption.
Yeah, and ethics includes all those corruptive activity, those things that are contrary to the, to the rules, procedure. And when you look at those people who are, let's say, maybe the finance, the one on procurement, and the top guys, those ones actually have acted corruptly, like you are saying.
Yeah.
And of course, it really tarnished. But of course, those are just, you can't really say, even if the investors are to really lose confidence just because of those 2, 3, 5 people there.
Yeah, but they only lose confidence depending on what we do. If we really, if those who find corrupt really got stiff punishment or sentences, then that also give them confidence to say, well, if there is rule of law in Namibia, if you found corrupt or whatever, you will be dealt with. So it's also depend on what we're doing. So it's not just that this happened and the investor will lose confidence, but it's also depend on what we do. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So because just like, for example, those ones who were allegedly involved in fish lots, for example, and they are still behind bar anyway.
Yeah.
Even though it's their right to still get bail and all these other things. So, but then even the same applies to this one of NAMCO.
Yeah.
Being a very national entity. So, and you have got just three people. Of course, it's not something to be tolerated or condoned. But what we are saying is that they'll be dealt with on their individual basis.
Yeah.
So, and of course, even though they were working in that organization, but obviously, when you are dealt with now, like in their case, so the NAMCO is still fine. So you can still find the confidence in the investors can still be revived if there is, if it somehow, you know, diminished.
I get your point, but we need also to, when you have major corrupt cases like that, we have fish rod and we have what, when an investor want to invest in a country, so they, of course, they do an assessment of the country, and once they come across this report and all this, you know, it as you said at the beginning, it really tarnishes the image of the country. So
But when you look at Namibia now in terms of investment attraction, foreign investment attraction, Namibia actually comes up at the top. So now, of course, this kind of incident shouldn't be tolerated, and should not be allowed. Maybe the preaching of more ethics and all other issues, and the consequences of that perhaps need to be, you know, I don't know how to say. So they need to be emphasized much and looked upon, so that we cannot, this type of these issues cannot be allowed. The administrative justice there or administrative laws, because most of these things are actually really happening just on the administrative level here.
Where
people are corruptly or maybe changing the document and things like that, and they are, and then sidelining the procedures that need to be followed. So, but the policies, in terms of policies and acts and all these rules of law and things like that, I think those ones are well observed. Hence, the investors are really having confidence to come to Namibia to invest. That's still there. The only issue that might also disturb them is the peace and stability. If the environment is fine and these key issues can be dealt with, I don't think that will really, if somebody who is really want to invest in Namibia can just look at, maybe the person will just be concerned with the population, might be the market. The issue of confidence and things like that, I think that one is well built.
Yeah, but we shouldn't. Yeah, I understand you. But there are other factors that contribute to why, you know, investors want to invest in Namibia. But we shouldn't sit on our butt just thinking, oh no, we are fine, we are fine. So there are things that we need to do to keep ourselves, you know, more attractive to foreign investment. Rather than just thinking, no, we are doing okay, you know, we have the law and all that. Yeah, so.
Let's preach and make sure that those ones are no longer repeated and things like that.
Yeah.
But you always have those corrupting, those people who are really morally corrupt and they don't even respect the rule of law, things like that. So we shouldn't. We should keep on preaching the consequences and all these other things.
All right.
So thank you very much, Mike, for the opportunity.
So thanks for coming through.
Good.
All right.
All right. And basically, that brings us to the end of Unpacking the Day today. So, look out for the Villager. It's out. I have interesting stories. As I said, there's another story. Namibia is hosting Parliamentary Green Investment Dialogue. That's another story. We have in today's edition of the Villager. So MTC expands services to Greenwell Matongo. That's another story. The end. NIPAD honors public sector with inaugural award. So another stories to, you know, you can look forward in today's editions and many more inside. So, well, a very good morning to you if you're just joining us. And we have just come to the end of Unpacking the Day. So please do continue listening to Eagle FM. So because it's coming and going. So coming up now is Mind the Gap with Helmut. And until tomorrow again, on the same station here and the same time. between 7:30 and 9:30 of Unpacking the Day. So with me, for me, Michael Shaveli, I wish you a pleasant headache, a pleasant day ahead. So, and continue to listen to Eagle FM.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you...
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually... to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.